Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions while I wrap up my trip down to Walt Disney World. So follow along on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike today, as I'll be sharing as I run around the resort for a few more hours before I head back to MCO. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down to my iPhone XS Max, I can see that it says your trip has happened. And so that's always a good thing to see. But the great news is I'm going to reset my countdown for Marathon Weekend 2020 for the Dopey Challenge. And I use this app over and over again. One purchase, and I've been using it for years to get excited for my trips. You can do the same. Check out these and other great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It costs you nothing extra, and you get all your Prime benefits, and it really does help support the show. So please bookmark it and use it as often as you can. It really does help us out. beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1545 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We hope that you are having a great week and we appreciate you dropping in for more of your listener questions, the show that is driven by you, the listener. Today, we recorded this one a bit early because I am still down at Walt Disney World this morning, hopping on a Southwest plane this afternoon to get home. But I hope you've enjoyed all the coverage of the Skyliner of heading into Galaxy's Edge for my first time. And of course, Epcot Forever and The Last Illuminations. So as the show airs, Illuminations is no more. So joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
Well, I've cried my tears about Illuminations in the lagoon on last Thursday. So, you know, it's all good.
It is rough. But I mean, you know, thing is, like, it says we go on in Illuminations and we'll go on. And I think, you know, of course, we're recording this one early, so I don't know for sure. But from what I saw before I headed down on the trip, it looked like Epcot Forever is going to be something that the Disney fans who loved Illuminations can wrap their hands around and really enjoy here for at least the period that it's here. We don't know how long, 9 months, 10 months.
Right. Yeah. It's a temporary show, which still floors me. But, you know, they're putting all this work into a temporary show. But that's good, I guess. So it's going to be spectacular. And we're just going to love it probably because, you know, yeah, it seems like it's going to be a fantastic option for guests to be able to experience. So,
all right, let's get to the first question of the day. It's from Stacy. She's from North Carolina, 564 miles from Walt Disney World. She says, "Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. We're headed down to Walt Disney World in October and have a couple of questions regarding Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. My husband, 8-year-old daughter, mother-in-law, and myself will be going. This will be our fourth trip, but my mother-in-law's first trip. This will be our first time attending the party. We currently have a dining reservation for Crystal Palace at 4:10 on the day of the party. However, we have a fast pass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train from 4:15 to 5:15. This is our only fast pass for that ride during our trip, and it's a family favorite. Do you think we can get in and out of Crystal Palace and use the fast pass? If not, what quick service restaurant with mobile ordering would you recommend during the Halloween party?" Okay, let's stop there because she has one more question about that. I say you're just going to have to scrap that fast pass. I would not rush through a meal as expensive as Crystal Palace and with the character meet and greets and the good food, and it's a buffet. I think you're just going to, you're wasting money if you really rush to make that fast pass.
Correct. I agree. I mean, if 4:15 right to 5:15, and then you have the extra 15 minute grace period. So really it's till 5:30, but still, I mean, you could try it. But I agree. I wouldn't want to like waste dinner by rushing completely through dinner. And I've had experiences at Crystal Palace and other character meals where it really has taken a while for all the characters to get to me. So, and that can take up to an hour or so. So now they try their best to not have that happen, but it has happened to me before. So, you know, I say you're going to have to make a choice. If you want to skip the Crystal Palace experience and have quick service, go with that option. But do you know, I don't believe they offer, I'm not entirely sure if they offer mobile order during the parties, just because there are so few restaurants that are open. If they do offer mobile order, their choices are going to be so few, it'll be like Cosmic Rays, which is kind of pretty much it, and maybe Pecos Bills. So, you know, I would, if you're picking a place to go eat, I would probably pick Pecos Bills over Cosmic Rays. So.
Well, see, I would go Columbia Harbor House before the party because
right,
she was planning, excuse me, to eat at like 4 o'clock. So, you know, yeah, if you're swapping that in, you can be in and out and still make the fast pass if you eat at 4 o'clock at, you know, especially mobile order at Columbia Harbor House, because you'll be in and out in 30 minutes.
Now, I know that those like Columbia Harbor House and some of those other restaurants do close early on party nights as well. So I'm not entirely sure. I mean, close before the park closes because they have to set up like Pinocchio's Village House is a treat zone, I think. Now, Columbia Harbor House is not one this year, I don't believe. So they may stay open a little bit later, but just know that some of the restaurants may close early as well if they're quick service.
Yep. So, okay. So we got that. And here's the thing. I would, if you still stick with Crystal Palace, don't cancel that Seven Dwarfs Mine Train Fast Pass. Just go over there as soon as you leave, but don't rush through and just explain the situation. Say the meal went longer than I thought. Throw yourself on the mercy of the cast member. Sometimes you'll get in. You know, you never know.
It's true.
Especially if you tell them you're having a character meal. You know, it's not like you weren't there. It says also, what's one must treat, one must ride with an overlay, and one must entertainment not to be missed during the Halloween party? All right, entertainment, I think we both agree the parade. Don't want to miss that. The ride overlay, to me, you got to do Haunted Mansion. I mean, that's like the essence of the party, and it's got
but
the
that's
smoke.
That's not one of the overlays.
Well,
so
you got the, it's enhanced. It's got like
it is enhanced. Correct.
The stuff outside.
If you're looking for one of the actual overlays, I think I would probably choose Pirates because there are actual characters in there. You know, people as pirates. So I think that would be the one that I would go with, although Space Mountain in the Dark would be really cool too, but I think I would choose Pirates.
What about one must have treat? Because I say, you know, I say the party is so expensive and you're getting all that candy when you trick or treat. I'm not really, you know, I'm not going for anything more than what I'm getting at the party. Like, you know, I can do Reese's and Twix and like that's a huge treat for me, and I've already paid $1 million to get to the party, so I'm good. But I know there's cupcakes and all kinds.
Oh,
I saw there was
gosh,
like a wedding cake or something.
Yeah, there's the Constance's wedding cake. So one that I've definitely had already is the Amok cupcake, which is a cupcake with baked peanut butter chips, chocolate candy bits, and toffee. There's caramel sauce at the bottom. There's an edible cauldron cake icing thing on top with lots of buttercream, and it's really, really good. It's definitely split worthy because it is a huge cupcake. I mean, this cupcake was the size of my hand. So, I mean, I would definitely consider that as an option. There's one of the savory options might be the Hades nachos, which are black beans nachos topped with fiery buffalo chicken.
Ooh, that sounds
and
good.
Choice of toppings for the topping bar. That may be my dinner.
Yeah, no, okay, no, this, then you'll need chocolate.
I've already done this, but dinner.
You'll need some sweet after that.
There's the chocolate Mickey waffle sundae, which sounds really good. And also the thing that like I kind of want to try is there's a pumpkin spice soft serve sundae. And I love myself some pumpkin spice ice cream. So like milkshakes, that kind of things, that might be something that I try. I know they said one and I named more than one, but you know,
hey,
I mean,
give them options.
Give options. Yes.
She finally says any, must know tips or secrets for first timers to the Halloween party, show, parade, viewing spots. We appreciate any advice you can provide. Love the podcast. Makes my travel from school to school enjoyable. Thanks, Stacy. Well, Stacy, thank you for being a teacher. And I'm glad the sounds like you're a traveling teacher, so I know how that is. All right, so my biggest tip, we've given it for years and years. See that if you can stay, I know you have an 8-year-old, but she's going to have to suck it up and stay up late. Second parade in Frontierland in front of the shooting arcade. It's awesome. That's what you do.
Mine kind of goes along with that, too. I would say wait to see the very last Hocus Pocus show, which usually happens like right at midnight or something like that. Again, you're going to have a little less crowds. It's still busy, but at least, you know, the crowds are mostly dissipated and, you know, that way you get to extend the party a little bit too, which is kind of nice. And you can do other things at the party while you, you know, that way you don't have to stop and watch the show, you know, in prime party time because this is like the end of the night. So there's nothing else happening after midnight. So
that's right. All right, a question from down in Australia, Jenny Lee in our live chat. We appreciate she's always there early in the morning as we record in the evenings here in the States. And she has a question that says about packing for our late October to mid-November trip. We leave in 4 weeks and aren't really sure what weather to pack for. All right, so I know they're just coming into spring. We're heading into fall here in the States. I will tell you, typically, now the weather can change, but for the most part, I've been there, you know, late October, mid-November. It is still warm. I mean, you're definitely, you might want to pack like a jacket, but you'll probably be spending your time in shorts and t-shirts, even at night. It's still sticky.
Yeah. What are the dates? She said
like late October to early to mid November.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been there in mid November when it has gotten a little bit chilly though. So just keep that in mind. November is usually when it starts to dip off sometimes. So just keep that in mind. You do maybe want to have a jacket. You do maybe want to have, you know, some pants to wear in the evenings, that kind of thing, because temperatures will drop when the sun goes down. But for the most part, yeah, short sleeve shirts and stuff like that will probably be fine. But yeah, you may just want to have a pair of pants or two just in case.
Yeah, you won't need to bring like the heavy cold weather stuff. Just jackets and maybe a few pair of pants. You'll be good because you're here for quite a long time. All right, yeah. Melissa Patterson in the live chat's got a great question. What resort and activities would you recommend for a bachelorette party? First of all, if you had to like, what resort would be home base for a bachelorette party?
Oh, man.
I say Coronado Springs. It's got a lot of lounges. It's got a great pool. It's a moderate, so it's kind of in the middle for everybody's budget, maybe. You know, doesn't have the Skyliner, but you're not going to get everything. But I mean, it's got a central location. It's got sit down restaurants. You know, I think that that'd be a good place to kind of start. You're real close to Epcot and the studios.
Yeah. So I was thinking leaning towards French Quarter, just cause again, it is, you're right in the middle, as far as pricing goes. So that way it helps everybody out. If you're looking for more of a deluxe though, I'm going to say, you know, one of the beach club, yacht club, or boardwalk resorts, just because that way you're in between both Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios, which are probably two places you'll be spending a lot of time.
And she's also asking for like activities, and Jeff threw in a great comment. We always talk for like bachelor and bachelorette parties. Do a, you know, like a monorail bar crawl, you know, go to Trader Sam's, Misner's, or the, you know, if it's open, the Enchanted Rose. Depending on when you're going, you could go over to Geyser Point. You can go to Territory Lounge at Wilderness Lodge, catch a boat over there, the Wave. There's lots of places there. You could also go around, you know, the boardwalk in the Beach Club, Yacht Club area. You could go to Ale & Compass. They have a bar. You could go to Jelly Rolls and do dueling pianos. That'd be kind of fun.
That's true.
You know, there's the Bellevue Lounge. There's just, you know, just kind of that way you're just like walking or riding some kind of fun transportation and having a good time. You could actually make it with the Skyliner too now.
That's true. The gondola go around? Yeah.
Yes, the gondola go around. That's what it's going to be.
I like it. All right. I was going to say maybe do, you know, a pontoon boat ride. I think that might be a fun activity for everyone as well. If you're looking for something that's a little.
Yes.
A little cost to it.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Just rent a pontoon boat or do a tour together too. That'd be fun. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for something non-drinking, that'd be a great option.
Yep.
All righty. The next question from the inbox says, Star Wars, birthday Star Wars voided. Hey, BOGP crew, my name's Jared. I have a family Disney trip planned for September 29th to October 9th. My family was supposed to stay the entire time, but something came up. Now I'm going to be by myself from October 5th to the 9th, and the 6th is my birthday. So his family apparently is leaving early, and he's going to be there from the 5th to the 9th solo, and the 6th is his birthday. Okay, I've never been to Disney solo before. Do you have any suggestions I can book last minute to make my solo birthday Disney World trip special after the family leaves? Also, I have a Star Wars void appointment scheduled at Disney Springs for September 29th for 4, but only myself and my nephew are willing to try it. I heard on the podcast Mike is going to be in Disney those days. Would you want to meet us that evening in the Springs and fight some stormtroopers with us?
Jared, that's cool.
Well, by the time this, and he's from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Again, we talked about on a Monday show just recently, everybody's from Pennsylvania that are Disney fans. It's like 90%. It's a funny thing. Now, I appreciate the offer. Of course, by the time the show comes out, I am heading home, and it's October 2nd or 3rd, I think. And so I appreciate it. I think it'd be kind of tough because I'm trying to get around and see the nighttime spectaculars, but that would have been a lot of fun. I say it's your birthday, you're solo Star Wars fan. See if you can make us, you know, this is your chance to make your lightsaber.
Or I was going like to say that. Yeah. but I think in the chat, they have a really good suggestion. You know, take a tour. They're suggesting Keys to the Kingdom. But if you really wanted to kind of go for it, you could do the 7-hour backstage tour, which is a really fun option, I think, as well. And I think the tours are always a great because you're never really truly by yourself on a tour day. You know what I'm saying? So you always have somebody with you that you can, go around with and stuff like that. So I say book a tour if you're alone. Yeah.
That's great tip because it puts you with people that are, and the thing is people that take tours are big Disney fans. Like all of a sudden you're like with your people. It's kind of cool. And then of course, you know, when you have the tour guide, they love sharing the stuff you're going to love too as a Disney fan. Mm-hmm. I love tours.
Definitely.
All right, let's get to a question. And the chat, we got a lot of folks tuned in that are down in Florida. A lot of folks live there, and they're saying definitely bring a light jacket. It's actually already getting cooler in Florida, which I can't imagine because it's been hot as the sun in St. Louis, so I don't know.
There you go.
So there you go. Felicia in the live chat says, best character dining. Headed down the week before Christmas, staying at Pop with free dining, upgraded to the Disney dining plan. We wanted Artist Point, but haven't been able to snag an ADR there yet. Hang with it, Felicia, because you still may get it. I have a feeling you will get it. So if you had to give, here's one sleeper hit. Let me give two sleepers.
All right.
Tusker House.
Yeah.
Any meal. Ohana for breakfast with Lilo Correct. And Stitch. Two great character meals. And you should be able to secure those right now. Does that finish listening to the show or do it while you're listening? Don't go anywhere. But you could probably get those right now. So give her a couple of suggestions. I like both of those.
I'm going to say the Bon Voyage breakfast at the Boardwalk at Trattoria Al Forno. It's very different because you actually get to meet the princes as well. So you get to meet Rapunzel and Flynn Rider and then Prince Eric and Ariel. So I think that's kind of a good one to go with. I'm a huge fan of Garden Grill. I love the food there. I love that it's, brought to your table. It's family style. So it's like so much food that you can eat. I love that the characters are dressed up in kind of their farmer attire. And plus you get to meet Chip and Dale, who are my absolute favorites. So I say Garden Grill.
Good tips. And Maggie in the live chat going along with the bachelorette party says her friends and I did the Halloween Horror Nights for a friend's bachelorette party. We all wore pink glow sticks so we would get extra jump scares.
Pink and glow sticks.
Is that how that works? If you wear pink, you get extra.
Because when you're dressed in like a lighter color like that, you get noticed more. And if you have the glow sticks, then you're definitely getting noticed because you are lit up like a Christmas tree in those houses. So meanwhile, I will be wearing all black. So
so
that I do not get noticed. Yes, exactly. I have I have one Halloween Horror Nights shirt that my brother bought me 1 year for Christmas. I will be wearing that to Halloween Horror Nights. It is black. It has a skull on it. So, can anybody picture me wearing a shirt with a skull?
So you're going to be like all goth.
I do it on Halloween Horror Nights. That way I look like I fit in.
Awesome. All right, Carla's got the next question. It was from our Facebook page. It says, this is a comment. I was just listening to your listener questions podcast. In responding to the guest questions about getting fast passes for a guest coming up in only a couple of days, Pam said she wouldn't be able to get fast passes 60 days out. I thought I would share that in July I booked fast passes for my son-in-law, who was coming in for only one day when I booked fast passes 60 days in advance for the rest of the group. I purchased a one-day pass for him in advance, had it linked to my account, and he was part of my family and friends. I was able to book fast passes for him on the day of his ticket. On the day, his ticket was valid 60 days before arrival. Maybe it was a fluke. Unfortunately, we weren't able to actually use the fast passes thanks to Dorian. Ugh. Thanks as always for the great info you guys share in the podcast, Karen, Carla. So yeah, I mean, and the thing is, here's my big tip. Okay, so if you're having questions about fast passes and like if you have these strange situations where somebody's coming in for just part of the trip and all that, maybe somebody has like a ticket from 2 years ago and you're trying to work that on, call the My Disney Experience help desk and let them figure it out for you, because many times they'll do like an override and they will let these things happen where you normally can't do it. You know, there's like, oh, I see what you, because the thing is like the system has parameters and it can't, a computer can't like kind of see the big picture of what you're trying to accomplish. You're not trying to scam anything. You're just trying to match everybody up. Where if you talk to a human at the My Disney Experience help desk, they can sometimes say, okay, I see what you're trying to do here. And they have like override power. So be nice to them and call them. That's what I say.
Good tip.
All right, let's get to the next question here. We're ripping through the old
inbox.
That's right. And this one's from Amy, who I believe is from the Run, Eat, Drink podcast that Mike Bankhead was just on a couple weeks ago. And it's on my run tomorrow morning. I got it queued up, so can't wait to check that out. Mike, Ricky, and Pam, I have a question for the three of you. Then I have a thank you to the three of you plus Mike Bankhead if you have the time. First, there you go. First, yeah. My husband and I will be running the Wine and Dine 2-Course Challenge in November. However, it looks like I cannot get off work on Friday when we normally pick up our bibs, so we'll not be arriving in Orlando until Friday night. Ugh. Is there any service or way still offered to pick up your bib the morning of the 10K and complete the rest of the bib pickup and get our shirts after the race is completed? Yes, you can pick them up at the morning of the race, but you do have to go back to get all your goodies to the expo. But they don't tell you that because they want to make sure that you're good. And she says, now for the thank you to you all. This past week on our show, the Run, Eat, Drink podcast, we were lucky to have Captain Mike as our special guest to discuss the BOGP Lizards running group as a great source of friendship, inspiration, and support. We've gotten so much out of the Lizards group and wanted to share it for anyone out there who needs support in training for a Run Disney event. He also gave some killer tips from his own experience for a great Disney Runcation that will benefit our audience, as well as shouting out all of you and sharing your show, The Magic for Less Travel, The Mouse for Less, as resources. So thanks to all of you, and we can't wait to meet all the Lizards in November. He was a star, and I hope you are all as well as all the Lizards. Listen to all the compliments he gave to you and the BOGP and the Lizards group. So check it out. It's the Run, Eat, Drink podcast with Amy. Mike was on it a few weeks ago. So check it out. Mike Bankhead is awesome. Yes, it is. It's in my queue. I just haven't gotten to it because we were in Indy. So
that's awesome. That's so cool. Yeah.
All right. Another question from Sean. We're counting down the days until our May 2020 trip that you are helping us plan. We are on the fence and can only choose one of these. Choose between Keys to the Kingdom Tour, Happily Ever After Dessert Party. There's only two. We've never done a tour or a dessert party. Thanks. Sean is in West Michigan. He's 1,024 miles from the Magic Kingdom. All right, you got to pick a Happily Ever After Dessert Party or Keys to the Kingdom. To me, it depends if I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I say Keys because I like that. That's a great trip. For a Disney fan, that's just like just being a huge Disney geek. I like it.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to also say Keys to the Kingdom. Now, granted, it does depend on if you can stand being in the masses of humanity when they're when the fireworks are going on. Now, I personally don't love necessarily being in the masses of humanity when fireworks are going on. So I might consider the dessert party if that were the case. But if you're okay with it, you can grab a dessert, you know, somewhere from around the park, and then you can eat that and then watch the fireworks without having a dessert party. So I think that that's probably what I would go for. Keys to the Kingdom over that. Yeah.
But man, I've done the Happily Ever After dessert party. Pam was paying. It was an
eight. I know that part was much better. Yeah, when somebody else pays. Yeah.
When Pam paid, it was awesome. That was great. Man, I ate so many desserts though. Like, I remember watching the fireworks, but my stomach was hurting so bad. Because I, you know, you didn't have to go back for the thing is, all the desserts are teeny tiny. But yes, when you eat 17 of them, that's like eating a foot-long piece of cake. You know?
Well, that's true, yes.
So be careful. Be careful. You gotta have self-control. All right, Chance Porter in the live chat says, 7-day trip with three kids. They're 6, 4, and 1 during Flower and Garden. I was planning on 1.5 days at Epcot, but now with all of the construction, should I spend that half day at Hollywood Studios instead? What say you, Ricky? The construction, I don't think, would change my touring. I don't know. The attractions are all still there. I mean, you really weren't going to see anything in Interventions, and you weren't going to watch the Fountain of Nations, and you weren't going to spend time in Club Cool. The character spots moved.
I think it depends on if they were planning on going to Hollywood Studios in the first place. You know, if they weren't, then yeah, I say go over to Hollywood Studios. But if they are, I wouldn't change my plans either. There is so much that happens during the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival. I mean, the food booths, you know, there are so many. I mean, not as many as Food and Wine. But, you know, the food booths, they're definitely plentiful. And you may not want to eat all of them at once. So there's that. I love looking at all the topiaries. I love you know, some of the gardens that they have. They have all that. They have the Eats the Beat concert series. Or, no, wrong one. They have the
Garden Flower Rock Power. No, Garden. Yeah, Garden. Was it used to be called Flower Power, right? Yeah.
Yes. So, and to me, minus the Epcot Festival of the Arts, Flower and Garden is truly my second favorite festival that Epcot does. So I am a huge fan of the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival. So I think I would pick that as well. I would keep the course and go to Epcot. Unless, like I said, you didn't have a day planned at Hollywood Studios and then go over to Hollywood Studios.
Agreed. All right, real quick, rank the four festivals at Epcot.
Ooh, man, okay. So Festival of the Arts is definitely first. I know that. And Flower and Garden is definitely second. The tougher part gets to be with Christmas, with the Festival of the Holidays, and Food and Wine. Food and Wine has definitely slipped a lot to me. So I think I'm going to go with Food and Wine and then Festival of the Holidays. But Festival of the Holidays is getting close. But I think that they don't. Yeah, I think Food and Wine beats Festival of the Holidays. So, but Food and Wine has definitely slipped. I don't know about you. Like, the past couple trips I've taken, we haven't eaten at Food and Wine. Like, we've kind of decided, hey, do we feel like fighting everybody for little small pieces of food? And then,
yeah, so I think that's it.
It's been a table service restaurant instead. So
it's become a victim of its like own success. It's too crazy crowded. Like, that's why I don't run Wine and Dine anymore. That weekend was just too nuts. Like, I finally just said, nope. Like, it's just, and I like crowds. I mean, crowds don't bother me, but man, that weekend, the last time I did it was just insane. That was a few years ago. I'm with you, though. I say Festival of the Arts, Flower and Garden, but I put Christmas Festival ahead of that, Festival of Holidays, and then I put Food and Wine last. Food and Wine's got a lot going on, but it's too busy, and I just love Christmas. But you're right. I mean, it's funny that Festival of the Arts, number one for both of us. Love it.
Yeah. It's so great. I'm trying to figure out like how I'm going to make it down for Festival of the Arts this year. Cause it's just, it really wowed me last year. And that was being cold and being rained on the whole day. And I was soaking wet and, you know, miserable, but I still left Festival of the Arts. So that tells you right there. It was awesome. So.
Like Maggie says in the live Facebook chat, the value of Food and Wine was definitely better 10 years ago, which
absolutely.
Everything was.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. The next question is from Mike, and it's not me. It's an AP question. Hello, Pam, Ricky, and Mike. My wife and I are going to Walt Disney World in February for Princess Weekend and are thinking about upgrading to annual passes. My question is, if we have already purchased Memory Maker before we arrive, does the $169 come off the cost of the APs? I understand the price of our park tickets do, but I'm not sure about the Memory Maker. Thank you and go Lizards. Mike. Mike, bad news. They do not take, once you buy the Memory Maker, you have the Memory Maker. It does not come off the AP price. That's why if you think you're going to upgrade, do not buy the Memory Maker if you're going to upgrade to an annual pass.
Interesting. Is there a way that you can maybe talk to guest relations?
Possibly, but that's the official rule. Again, you know, yeah, exactly. I would definitely throw, you know, hey, I'm paying $2,000 for annual passes here. Like, come on, man, help me out. But who knows? That is the rule, though.
Okay.
All right, next question's from Brandon. Hey, Mike, just started listening to your podcast recently as we're planning on going to Disney World in late January 2020. Hoping you could talk me through something on the podcast at some point. Let's see here. My wife and I, neither of us have been since we were kids. We'll be taking our two boys, who are going to be 4 and 2 at the time, for a week and staying at Pop Century. I'm definitely a planner and probably won't be back for a while, so I want to experience as much as possible, but it's super overwhelming for sure. My question is, between booking ADRs, already booked a lightsaber and droid building too, and fast passes in November, it almost seems like our whole trip will be scheduled before we even get there. I need some tips on balancing utilizing early reservations to do as much as possible, but also being able to go with the flow some while we're there and not feel rushed the whole time, especially with two little kids. Sort of a generalized question, I guess, but I appreciate any help if you're able to get to it. Really love the good vibes your show gives off. Thanks, Brandon. First of all, Brandon, thanks for the kind words. We're glad to have you in the podcast family. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. And I think you're speaking for the masses. I know that you're kind of new to all this, but you are saying what we've been saying for 11 years here on the show, that it is definitely a balancing act of beating everybody else to the good, you know, like locking in the premier attractions 60 days out and the good meals 180 days out. But you also want to have spontaneity. When you're there, you want to be able to say, you know what, I'm kind of in the mood to do this, and this wasn't on our plans. But, you know, you want to be able to take that chance and try something new. So, Ricky, what do you say? Because he has the perfect word. It's a balancing act.
It is a balancing act. And, you know, I think we all kind of still go through this. Like you said, it's you have your three fast passes, have your dining. Those are definitely important things for sure. But then in those times when you're not eating or you're not, you know, on the attractions that you have the fast pass for, really stop and smell the roses. Stop and enjoy what's going on. I think that that's really the best way to get kind of the best of both worlds, is to know it's okay. And if you have to change your plans, it's okay too. I promise. It's not going to, your vacation won't be hashtag ruined. It's all going to be fine. You know, some of the things that I've done, I've changed last minute. I've had dining reservations, and, you know, I know if you call and you're nice, you can sometimes get those, you know, canceled or whatever, explain the situation, and they will understand and they will have mercy on you. So, you know, I've done that. I've changed fast passes on the fly. You know, I've done all these things. I've just stopped and smelled the roses. And like I said, one of my favorite things to do is go out to Tom Sawyer Island and just sit out there on the rocking chairs, watching the world go by. And, you know, especially with they have kiddos, right? So they can go and play on Tom Sawyer Island and stuff like that. Just make sure you stop and do the smaller things that aren't in all the guidebooks and stuff like that. And you'll see them along the way, I promise.
And, you know, that's kind of the good news, is that you only get three fast passes per day up front. Of course, you can use the rolling fast passes once those are exhausted, but fill in with these kind of things. You know, say you got a fast pass at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then your next fast pass doesn't happen until 12:30. That's a good time to go over to Tom Sawyer Island, like Ricky said. Let the kids blow off some steam. You get to relax and see some of, because I'm telling you, you know, almost to a person that I talk to, this is always true for me. I know it's Pam and Ricky. We've talked about this just personally, that when we get home, it's the secondary attractions and the sitting down and having conversations in rocking chairs that we enjoy more out of our vacations than that third ride on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Just stopping and enjoying what's going on is so important. It's why, you know, at the end of the night, Brian and I oftentimes like to grab an ice cream and sit in that art festival center on Main Street, USA, you know, just again, watching the crowds go by and have an ice cream. And, you know, it's so peaceful because you're there with not a lot of people. And, you know, it's definitely not one of those things that you're hearing about everywhere else, but there's something so wonderful about experiencing that. So it's a balancing act for sure, but just make sure that you don't get sucked into the, I have to be here, I have to be there, I have to go to the bathroom at this time, I have to, you know, there are times for that, but, you know, it is nice to just stop and smell the roses.
And also make sure you build in time for the kids to be able to swim at Pop Century. There's a playground. Explore Pop. Even though it's a value resort, it's a lot of fun. And 4 and 2, they're going to love it because it's colorful, bright, a lot of stuff to climb on. They'll love it. All right, next question. Single mom needs the spa, Amanda says. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. She says, help. Okay, I'm not really a single mom, but for an upcoming trip, I'll be traveling with my 13-year-old and 9-year-old and no hubby. Okay, I guess she's single for the trip, it sounds
like. Right, okay. Yes.
She's got a 13 and a 9-year-old and no husband going with her on the trip. So she's vacation single, I guess we could say.
Yes, there you go.
I would really like to go to the spa for a massage or anything while on our vacation. She's really calling out. She almost needs like an 800 number or something. My question is, what can I sign the kids up for, send them to, like a pirate's cruise, that would logistically give me enough time alone to go to the spa? Any and all, welcome. Anyway, please help. Thank you. Basically, it sounds like Amanda just wants to get rid of the kids. Doesn't matter what they do. As long as they're under some kind of a supervision, she will pay for them to go on a pirate's cruise or whatever. It doesn't matter. Just get rid of them for 3 hours so she can get a massage. So, Ricky, you're good at all these like special things. What could they do?
Oh, my God. Okay. This one is tough because I think the pirates thing is really like the only thing that is offered, and I think the 13-year-old might be too old for it. I think the minimum age is, or maximum age is 12. I'm not 100% sure on that, but besides hiring a babysitter from one of the babysitting services that are, you know, around Orlando, I don't know.
I was thinking that too. I don't know. I don't know what would give you like a 3-hour window for a 13 and 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And the 13-year-old is not going to be cool with like one of those like fairy godmothers coming to the room and hanging out. That's
It's not necessarily a fairy godmother. Like it's
whatever actual, they are.
It's an actual babysitter.
Oh, that's what they call. That's one of the companies. They're called like the fairy godmother.
There is a fairy godmother one. There's also another one.
I know.
Yeah. So I mean, but if you're really looking for that experience, and you know, that's your only option, really, it seems like that would be what I would do. I mean, I would hire one of the babysitters and have them come for the few hours. Now, I do know the babysitters usually have a time limit, so you have to have them for like 3 or 4 hours, I think. So just keep that in mind, too.
I don't know. I feel your pain, though. I need a massage, too, but you know, I don't know. That is funny, though.
Leave them there at the hotel and be like, go to the pool. Don't kill each other. I mean, I don't know.
Dude, we are not endorsing any of these ideas. They're just stuff that's coming off the top of our heads, just in
case.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, like, I really don't.
Yeah, a 9-year-old pool, I wouldn't do that.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
That's a tough one. If they're both 13, maybe other options. But 13 and 9, I don't know. Good luck. Let us know how it goes. I want to know how this turns out, because you do need a massage if you're writing to us. All right, next question says, Smugglers Run seat selection from Jordan. Hey, BOGP crew, my wife, 6-year-old son, and 2-year-old daughter, and I'll be heading to the world in the middle of October. My son is a huge Star Wars fan. We plan to face the morning and hit the extra, extra magic hours to ride Smugglers Run, hopefully multiple times. Riding the Millennium Falcon will blow his mind. Flying it would be an entirely different level. Ricky's experience on the ride worries me. I don't want him to fail or not fly as well as someone else would and ruin the ride for the other passengers with us. Does the skill of the pilot really have that much effect on the outcome? Is there a seat you would suggest so that he gets the full effect? Thanks for all you do. May the force be with you. Thanks. Jordan is in Northwest Arkansas. Woo pig. And that's like, that's the chant for the, Siri, for the Razorbacks. All right. So, let me think. Well, see, by the time the show comes out, I'll be heading home today. Crossing my fingers, I will have been in my Falcon. Oh, I want to be the pilot so bad. Is recording this first? Because I want to pull on that stick to go to light speed, like Chewie.
Sit, though, on the left side.
I don't care. I'll sit on the roof if I have to.
To go to light speed, you have to sit on the left side. I'm telling you.
The right side, isn't it? Because the stick will be on your left, right?
Right
side. Sorry. Yeah. It's like co-pilot seat. Good.
Yeah.
See, you almost made me miss it already.
I almost made me go on the wrong side. Go on the right side, not the left.
Sorry. Yes. Okay. So, what's it like? Like, is this guy, this 6-year-old who's a huge Star Wars fan, is the skill gonna make everybody else in the cockpit mad at him for not piloting to the best of his ability? What's the vibe on that?
So I'm sure that those who are in the car with you will understand that they are a youngin, and that they it will be a little more difficult. Yes, it really does matter what you're doing. What you're doing as a pilot really does impact what happens throughout the rest of, you know, behind you for the other positions. Like I said with Brian, I mean, he was not following the train like he needed to, and because he was supposed to do left and right, and he was not doing left and right, and we were going the opposite direction. So it actually does matter, and I'm not trying to scare you or anything like that, but it really does matter. So maybe have him be the pilot that sits on the right. That way it's not quite as impactful, except for, you know, the light speed thing. And, it really will make a difference.
Kid live his dream. Who cares if it's bumpy? Jeff says it could be bumpy. Let the little dude, 6-year-old Star Wars fan, let him sit where he wants. Let him fly the Falcon.
I'm just trying to make her understand that, it really will. What he does really will impact the rest of the ride. So, but don't worry about it. Like Mike said, it's a 6-year-old. Everybody should understand.
Seriously, you're at Walt Disney World, people. If you get mad at a 6-year-old, you have a problem.
In your ride vehicle. They should understand that it's a 6-year-old who's a pilot. It's fine. And once he does it like once or twice, because, you know, I'm sure you'll do it more than once. If you're going at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you may not have anybody else in your vehicle at 6 o'clock in the morning anyway, so let's just be honest with that too. So then hopefully you'll be able to have a good learning curve and he'll figure out what's going on there. So, yeah.
All right. Good luck. I think he's going to do fine. I think
May the force be with you.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Jenny Lee, following up with the where to put the kids so you can take a massage, just take them over to the AMC movie theater at Disney Springs, walk them in, sit them down, and then walk over to Saratoga Springs and get a quick massage during the movie. Again, do what you want. That's a suggestion. Whatever. All right, time for the last question of the day. Gondolas, here we come.
Yeah, I don't know.
This one's from Doug in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. Again, the tech of Pennsylvania. They're everywhere. I just started noticing that a couple years ago. Like, everybody that writes in, and 90% of my guests are from Pennsylvania. It is so crazy. That's and Pam's from Pennsylvania. Yeah. It says, hey there, BOGP crew. My son just made the National Honors Chorus, which is performing in Orlando in November. While he rehearses, my wife and I need to pass the time, so off to Disney we go. Sounds like cheerleading. The family has never been known to rope drop, and we're staying off property for the few days we'll be there. What can you tell us about the limited midday magic tickets? Seems like it would fit our touring style and save us a few bucks in the process. Love the show. Keep up the great work, Doug. So this is the Ricky Niblet ticket. So Ricky, tell them about the midday magic tickets.
Yes. So it is definitely the Ricky Niblet ticket, and it is amazing. And I'm so happy that Disney has introduced it. So what this new ticket is the ability to purchase a reduced price ticket. However, you cannot enter the park before 12 noon. The tickets are available for a limited time on or before December 15th. So as of right now, that is the end date for using these tickets. So just keep that in mind. Now, if they have proven popular, I'm sure Disney will, you know, allow them to continue. If they don't, then they will end them at that point. The two-day midday magic ticket is going to cost $88 per day plus tax. And the three-day midday magic ticket will cost $84 per day plus tax, and the four-day midday magic ticket will cost $79 per day plus tax. The pricing is for ages 10 and older, so just keep that in mind for the prices that I just said. And let's see here. There's no ability to purchase a one-day ticket for the midday park option. However, you can add the Park Hopper or the Park Hopper Plus, but those admissions will only be available after 12 noon as well. So you can make fast passes with these tickets up to 30 days in advance, unless you're staying on site, which will then allow you to make them up to 60 days in advance. So that is kind of the midday magic tickets in a nutshell.
There you go. Save a few bucks and sleep in.
Yes, both. Exactly.
All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for dropping in. Again, if you are listening to the show very early here on Wednesday, follow me again on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. I'm still down at Walt Disney World until this afternoon when I head home, and we'll be back Friday with another show. But don't forget today's episode. It's a Wednesday brought to you by our friends at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, look into the crystal ball. What are we reading about on this app when you want to keep up with the latest Disney news?
The gondolas are open. That's
yes.
Yes.
And they're not hot.
No, I know that that's definitely a story that we're reading about. We're also reading about Epcot Forever and how the show actually is. And, you know, what all the ins and outs about the new show at Epcot, as well as the thoughts and sadness that goes along with Illuminations being over. So
Tear. That's right. So turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now to cry, to smile, to cheer, to vent.
To fly on a Disney gondola. That's it.
It's called Theme Park News Disney Edition, free iOS app for all Apple devices. So check it out today over at virtualmickey.com. Give us some support and use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits. Costs you nothing extra. And every purchase does help make the show better. Or at least keep us going. So check it out, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We also have a dancing cat on the live Facebook chat, so don't miss that. Also, don't forget, Be Our Guest Pod on Instagram and Twitter as well as facebook.com/brguestpodcast to keep up with everything we're doing here on the show. And like I said, we're going to be back again on Friday with another great podcast. So until then, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work before I head back to MCO, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.